This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome again to the preview show. We're back this week and riding solo with me is Leyton Orient captain Joby McEnough. First of all, let's get your reaction to the midweek Sky Bet Championship games, Joby, and a good week for Leeds and a decent week for West Brom as well. The top two are 11 points clear of third now. Is this a two-horse race?
Yeah, it certainly looks that way to me. I think, we've said on previous occasions, they're by far and away the two best teams in the league. You only have to look at their recent form, the results they're picking up. I think Leeds are 7 on the bounce, unbeaten in 10. West Brom, very, very similar record. I think it's 11 games now they're unbeaten in. So, two teams that are in real, real good form and for me are a class above the rest of the Championship, Pat.
We'll talk more about Leeds later, but West Brom, lost top spot after a draw at Wigan in midweek, but showed resilience to come back from behind to get a point. Is that a sign that they are a promotion-worthy side, the fact that they, seemingly, don't play well and still pick up points?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, that's part and parcel of being a team that gets promoted. You have to somehow find a way to get points when you're not playing particularly well. And listen, they've been outstanding. So they're going to have that little blip every now and again. And if they can keep those points ticking over, as they did the other night, picking up that draw, away at Wigan, I'm sure they'll look back on it and see it as a good point in the future.
And at the bottom, Stoke getting that vital win over Luton. How big is it for the squad morale when you win a relegation six-pointer like that?
Yeah, it's massive. We've spoken about at the other end of the table where you're against a promotion rival and, those games against the teams that you're really battling with are crucial. It just brings Luton down, sort of 3 points off now. And I think for Stoke, after having a good start, they won the first couple of games under Michael O'Neill. And I think everyone probably thought, here we go, they're going to really climb the table. They had a few bad results, lost 3 on the bounce. So I think to get out of that rut quickly is key. And, they certainly looked very, very good value for it the other night.
Yeah, on the flip side, though, how much will morale be down in that Luton dressing room as well, losing a match against a team like Stoke who are in there with them?
Yeah, of course. I think, again, you go into that game thinking, not to lose and you keep that gap. If you win, it's a bit of a bonus. But, they'll be looking over their shoulders a bit anxiously now, Luton. Again, I think with the quality of the players Stoke have got, it's been a mystery why they haven't quite been able to get anywhere near the form they should do. And I think, if Michael O'Neill can get things going there, I think Luton have to be a little bit worried. It looks like Huddersfield are going in the right direction of a real, focus now and a way of playing. You've got Middlesbrough who, again, have picked up some decent results lately. So, I'm sure Luton are a little bit worried right now.
Yeah, Luton drawn right back into that battle at the bottom. Just 3 points from safety heading into the weekend. Now to West Brom again. And the first match we're going to be featuring is their West Midlands derby at Birmingham. Starting with the home side, though, first of all. A 3-2 win at your former team, Reading, last weekend. And then a 2-0 midweek defeat at QPR. Are they the most unpredictable side in the Championship, do you feel, this season?
Yeah, very, very inconsistent, I would say. And it must be very frustrating for, the Birmingham fans that they can't quite, string those results together. I think, having got that win against Reading, again, they probably would have thought, we can really get ourselves going now, especially after a really disappointing spell in November. So frustrating, they were very lackluster, really, in that match against QPR. And I'm sure the manager would have been scratching his head as to where that performance came from.
Yeah, and after a long spell in caretaker charge, Pep Clatet has now finally been given the head coach job on a permanent basis. Will that maybe give this squad stability as well, especially going into the Christmas and then January, of course?
Yeah, most definitely. I think players need the stability. I think everyone at the club needs a direction that, they all know they're going in. I think for the manager himself, as the leader of that group, it's very important that he's got that status and that stature at the club. So all the lads there know, he's going to be there for the foreseeable future. And as you point out, moving into that really, really important Christmas period, I think it's very good that they've made that decision and, they can all move on together now.
Yeah, going back into that midweek defeat to QPR, though, and Blues defender Christian Pedersen gave a scathing interview after the match, saying it's not what they stand for. Is it all about the performance in this match now? A win will obviously be hard to come by against a team like West Brom.
Yeah, I mean, if I was the manager or if I was playing with Christian Pedersen, I wouldn't be too unhappy with that. I think it's a good sign. I think it shows that, you know, there's certain standards that they're trying to achieve, and he felt the players, you know, fell below that. And you're going to lose games, you know, it's a tough league. You know, if you're not quite right, you know, you do come and start. But again, I think it's the nature of those defeats. And clearly that was something that, you know, he wasn't happy about and, you know, was very vocal in his thoughts in terms of that. So, you know, it's going to be obviously a tough game against West Brom, but, you know, I think they'll be looking for reaction and hopefully his remarks after the game have that desired effect on his team.
Focusing back on West Brom, though, how important is it for them, you know, playing, I know we've talked about this before, but playing at 12:30 before Leeds, having that chance to go back to the top of the table and put the pressure right back on Leeds?
Yeah, I think any little slight advantage you can get at this stage of the season, you want to try and take advantage of. I don't think it's a massive advantage. I think it's, you know, a nice feeling if you've gone and done the job and you've got the 3 points, then you can relax a little bit for the weekend and obviously see how Leeds go on. But I think given the nature of the lead both teams have got over the chasing pats, I think they'll both be fairly relaxed at the moment. And, you know, they've only got to look after their own interests at this moment in time. You know, I'm sure Leeds will be thinking whatever West Brom do, they'll still be confident of doing their own business and getting the points that they need.
Interestingly, West Brom actually arrested, you know, the likes of Pereira, Dean Garner and Robson Kanu in midweek as well. What do you make of that tactic? Obviously, they didn't get the win in the end.
Well, listen, it's a decision that Slaven Bilic has obviously made. I think there's a lot of factors behind it, you know, whether it's fatigue, you know, trying to keep the players fresh. You know, there's a lot of sports science now behind the scenes. So there'll be little markers probably in terms of, again, that fatigue in risk of injury. He's also got other players like Sir Charlie Austin that, you know, can be very, very important players for West Brom in this, you know, second half of the season. So I think with, again, all the games coming up, he wants to keep a freshness in the squad, doesn't want to burn the players out. I mean, if any of those three get injured, you know, they're going to be missing really, really important players. So I think that's where you hope the squad then comes into its own. So hopefully it will give those boys a little bit of a rest and a chance to freshen up. It also gives important game time to, you know, some of the other lads that haven't been playing as regularly. So again, to come out of it with a draw and hopefully in his eyes, some benefit in terms of the squad, you know, I think he'll be quite happy with.
Yeah, you touched on it there, but how important is it over, you know, going into this Christmas period that the squad is managed in terms of, you know, the game time that everyone gets? Because obviously, you know, the games are coming thick and fast.
Yeah, it's very, very important. And, you know, sometimes it might be difficult for the fans because they're sitting at home thinking, hang on a minute, we've won however many games in a row. You know, the players themselves have been on fire and they want to see them out there every time. But it's about, you know, keeping those levels up throughout the whole season and in particular this Christmas period. If they can really put their mark down and get some big results over this period, they could be, you know, well, well clear going into the new year. So I'm sure, you know, the bigger picture is what Slaven Bilic has got in mind. And listen, I'm sure he knows what he's doing and that'll pay dividends in the long run.
Well, let's move on to top of the table. Leeds now taking on Cardiff. 7 wins on the bounce for Leeds. How important is it that they continue that momentum now, you know, like as we talked about earlier, going into Christmas?
Yeah, I think that's the key word, momentum. You know, at any stage of the season, it's important to get it. You know, I think they've obviously on a really good winning run, and like losing games, winning games becomes a habit, you know, and it's something that, you know, the demand is there at Elland Road and, you know, anywhere Leeds go with their travelling fans. And it's a very, very good habit to be in, you know, and that momentum, that consistency, you go into games feeling like you're never going to lose, and it can have a real negative impact on the opposition as well, especially with Leeds at the moment conceding so few goals. You know, once they get their noses in front, some teams probably just think, oh, it's not going to be our day today, it's Leeds, you know, they're going to run away with it. And you know, psychologically, it's it can be tough for the other team. So, you know, that consistency they need to keep up, and you know, they're on a very, very good run at the moment.
Yeah, and we said at the start of the season that Leeds maybe weren't being as clinical as they could be. You know, we saw the likes of Nottingham Forest and Derby get late points at Elland Road, and Swansea also beating them in injury time as well. How big is it for them now that they, you know, they're beating teams by more than a single goal margin as well? Obviously, it gives that relief and, you know, that nervy atmosphere at Elland Road isn't there as much.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, it's still going to be nervy at Elland Road. I think everyone knows the pressure and expectation that's on Leeds. But again, just by adding those few more goals to the tally, it makes it a little bit more relaxing towards the end of the game, put it that way. I mean, there was still, you know, a real hard-fought victory over Hull and a couple of late-ish goals. So it was by no means, you know, comfortable. But of course, that was their biggest question probably earlier in the season, though they were getting results. They were by, you know, quite fine margins, or they drew a couple of games that they probably should have won. So, of course, I think the increase in the goals is a, you know, a real positive sign moving forward.
And, you know, like we said earlier, West Brom play first. Could that maybe be a distraction for the Leeds players, do you think, if West Brom do get a decent result?
At this stage, I wouldn't think so. I think, again, you know, with the cushion they've got down to third, you know, they're very much in control of their own destiny. And I don't think at this point in the season it will be something that is going to overly concern them. Again, they've got to get the results they need, and they don't have to worry about anybody else, whether it be West Brom or, you know, the chasing teams at the moment, you know. And I think, you know, it's one of those things, maybe it amps the pressure up a little bit. But for me, again, as a player, that's something I always enjoyed. And, you know, if they have won, it keeps the pressure on, saying they need to go out and win to maintain their place at the top. So I don't see it as a bad thing at this stage of the season.
Would you not be like wary of the results, though, before your game? Would you be, you know, taking note? Would the squad be looking at the games?
You'd obviously take note, but again, at this stage, I think that's probably more for the run-in. Maybe if it is a little bit tighter in terms of down to third place, or obviously once they're actually really, really clear and these two are potentially going to win the league, it is something that might come into your mind. But at the moment, the main focus and emphasis for both those clubs is getting promoted. I think anything above that, winning a league, for example, is a bonus. And as it stands in the position they're in, I think they're both, again, be fairly comfortable where they are.
Your former side, Cardiff, look revitalised under Neil Harris. Well, you know, before this midweek defeat to Brentford, though, of course. But could that maybe be a bit of a wake-up call for them, do you feel?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's had a real positive impact coming in, and you know, for that to be their first loss, you know, I'm sure he would have taken at the start when he first came in. I know he doesn't like losing games like any manager or player. You know, I know he's touched upon the fact they've only won one away from home this season, and obviously that loss at Brentford, you know, occurred in an away match. So I think it's something he's looking at improving. He wasn't happy with the performance levels, and he's quite harsh in terms of coming out saying, you know, there was a certain standard that if the players didn't match, that, you know, they'd be replaced. So I think he's used it to put a marker down for certainly those Cardiff players, that there is a standard and a ambition that they have to live up to. And for him as a manager, he's obviously got very, very high standards. So, you know, despite having a good start, you know, he's disappointed with that. But as you say, I'm sure they'll try and use it to help them kick on.
And could, you know, that Brentford match have been good preparation for this Leeds game as well? You know, two tough away games back to back, you know, two teams quite similar in their approach, Brentford and Leeds.
Yeah, I think Leeds away is a tough game at any point of the season, let alone when, you know, they've won seven on the bounce and you're coming off the back of a defeat away from home. So I think because of the nature of the game, it, you know, it takes on its own dimensions, really. And I'm sure those Cardiff players will be going there really looking to cause an upset and really just go and enjoy the game. It's a fantastic place to play, particularly, again, at this time where, you know, it will be rocking. There'll be a fantastic atmosphere there. And, you know, you don't say it often, but I think they can take it as a bit of a free hit. given the form that Leeds are in, and really try and go and spoil the party, so to speak. And, you know, they should be really looking forward to it. It's a fantastic game.
I suppose in those situations, like you say, a free hit, do you sometimes feel like the pressure's sort of off in those games, and that can help with players maybe?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and listen, this is, I'm sure Neil Harris won't be saying it's a free hit. You know, it's a game they want to go and get points in. But, you know, again, you look at certain fixtures and you know they're going to be tough, and you know, you've got to be right at the top of your game to go and get anything, and that can really help sometimes. And there won't be a lot of pressure. I don't think anyone, with all due respect to Cardiff, would be surprised if they come away without anything. So in that basis, you know, they can go and really give it a good go, and again, try and upset the odds and get a result there.
Well, speaking of Cardiff's midweek opponents, of course, well, Brentford come up against Fulham in the West London derby. We always seem to say the same thing about Brentford, Joby, with them being that, you know, that inconsistent team. I know they've pushed up the table, but their recent form shows that, you know, they still have that tag, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's been their Achilles heel for a while now. You know, they've got some fantastic talent there. You know, when they're good, they're very good. I just think, you know, from their point of view, there's too many occasions where they just slip away. You know, they go from being really, really impressive. You know, you have to look at 7-0 against Luton, and then the week after they go and lose to Sheffield Wednesday away. So for me, that it kind of sums them up, and they really need to find that consistency. I think if they do, then, you know, they've got a real, real chance of breaking into that top six this year.
Yeah, and they obviously are, as you say, a very talented team, the likes of, you know, Saeed Benrahma. A win would see them leapfrog ahead of Fulham. Do you see them as, you know, if they get that consistency, as one of the dark horses in the promotion race?
Oh, undoubtedly. I certainly feel they've got the ability and the talented players to do it. Again, it's just finding that consistency. And for me, for Brentford, is going away from home, and it's picking up results. You know, like we spoke about West Brom, you know, going away when they haven't played particularly well. And you look at the talent they've got, you know, in their armoury, but they still manage to go away and grind out results and get results on the road. And I think that's something that, you know, certainly Brentford have got to learn to do if they're serious about getting in that top six.
But we have seen in the past that Brentford are a team who are willing to sell their players for the right price. Is that a concern with January coming up, that could be the case again, you know, with the likes of, you know, Ollie Watkins attracting interest maybe?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You know, they've got a proven business model, you know, of obviously recruiting really well and then obviously selling for, you know, unbelievable resale values in terms of, you know, what they've put down to get the lads in the first place. And, you know, I think what they do is give the boys a platform to go and play regularly. You know, you only have to look at Ollie Watkins and how he's come on since his move, you know, from Exeter. Again, Saeed Benrahma is a fantastic talent. Josh De Silva, you know, with that hat-trick, you know, against Luton. They've got some real talent there, and I'm sure there'll be bigger clubs that are having a little look and weighing up, you know, one, whether they are going to offer anything, and two, how much those offers are going to be. You know, I'm sure Brentford, with how they're going at the moment, would certainly like to hold on to those boys and try and get themselves in them those playoff places. And then maybe it puts a slight different perspective on it when those offers come in at the end of the season. You know, if those boys have got Premier League football to look forward to, then it makes that decision a little bit harder, you know, for them to leave. So again, I think it's all a process for Brentford. They do a fantastic job with the recruitment, and you know, I'm sure they're going to be bracing themselves for some offers, but it's the way the club operates. So, you know, they've done it before and obviously survived and come back stronger. So I'm sure there's no, you know, fear in that in terms of what they're doing.
Yeah, as you say, it's been successful for them so far. But I know we've talked a lot about Fulham recently as well. Two defeats on the bounce. Do you think they still have what it takes in this promotion battle?
I do. I think they've got, again, we talk about, you know, forwards and players with ability. And for me, they've still got, you know, some of the best attacking players in the league. And I think they're still going to be a match for anyone on any given day. The question against them, and having watched them on numerous occasions this year, is probably defensively, whether they're solid enough, you know, to be consistent, you know, in terms of picking up those results. Certainly for the top two, I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle for them. I really feel they'll be in the playoffs. You know, they're certainly strong enough to stay there. And again, I think there'll be a huge frustration, you know, for Scott Parker. They really look like they put that consistency together. You know, they won four on the bounce, some really good results. And then to go and lose the last two, you know, it'd be a real kick in the teeth, you know, especially against two promotion rivals in Bristol City and Preston. So, again, struggling for consistency, but some great talent there. And for me, they'll be comfortably in the playoffs.
But as you mentioned, losing to the likes of, you know, Bristol City and Preston, two, you know, other candidates for those top six positions, psychologically, does that do you a lot of damage, do you think?
I think you'll be disappointed first and foremost, you know, to lose two on the bounce, and again, particularly to your rivals in those playoff places. Long term, I don't think it's going to be too damaging. Again, at this stage of the season, there should be results that they learn from and they take things from, and hopefully they'll be able to adjust. You know, they're still sitting fairly healthily in terms of the playoff picture, but it just means that everything's tightened up a little bit now. You know, with Preston winning the other day and obviously losing at Bristol, those teams in and around you, you know, just by not losing, you can just keep that little gap and that bit of breathing space. But, you know, by unfortunately losing the two games, it's just tightened everything up now. And yeah, it's a very, very tight mix for that playoff spot.
But one man who isn't certainly struggling is Alexander Mitrovic. Is he simply the best striker in the Championship, scored again midweek, obviously?
Yeah, for me, he's, you know, real Premier League quality that, you know, consistently week after week, game after game, he comes up with the goods. You know, it's not just his goal scoring, though. I think he brings a lot more to Fulham, you know, real physicality. He likes a battle. He likes pushing, you know, the opposing team backwards and allows those, you know, fantastically talented players to link up off of him, to play off of him. And I think he really gives them that platform going forward. I think he's probably as important to them as anyone else in the league. And, you know, I'm sure, again, as long as he stays fit and he keeps scoring, you know, Fulham will be there or thereabouts in terms of the playoffs.
If you put a striker like that in, you know, Leeds or West Brom's team, though, do you think it's, you know, a foregone conclusion for those sides?
Yeah, most definitely. I think you're looking at, if, you know, what's he got, 16 goals now, and he's easily going to hit 20 plus this year.
It's an incredible record.
Incredible. So I think that would, for one of those two teams, really put the icing on the cake. The fact that they haven't got a Mitrovic probably shows how good they are as an actual team and how much everyone else is contributing. And that's the big worry if, for whatever reason, Mitrovic isn't playing, or he's out for a, you know, a longer period of time, then, you know, they could have an issue with that moving forward. So I'm sure throughout the week they're wrapping him up in cotton wool and making sure he's you know, fit to go out there every game.
Well, moving on to Skybet League One now, and Simon Grayson going back to his former club Sunderland with Blackpool. How much of a point will he have to prove against his former side?
Yeah, I think you know, he'd be incredibly disappointed with, you know, how short the reign was and how unsuccessful it was. You know, you only have to look at his time there, and I'm sure for him as a manager is you know, his most disappointing time you know, in the game. I think it's only three wins in 18 games there, and especially a club which, again, we talk about Leeds and the expectation and the size of the club. You know, Sunderland's a massive football club, and I think for any manager it's a great opportunity if you get it right. If you don't, you know, it can quickly unravel. And unfortunately for him, you know, that was the case there. So, of course, you know, he'll be wanting to prove a few people wrong and go there and get the better of them.
And Blackpool, of course, in impressive form and haven't lost in the league since October. Do they even go into this match as favourites, despite it being at the Stadium of Light?
Yeah, I think when you look at, again, the run of form and some of the teams they've come up against recently, you know, they've played the top three, you know, in Wickham, Peterborough and Ipswich. You know, they've drawn against Ipswich and Wickham, beat Peterborough. So I think for them, they're just in a real rich vein of form at the moment. You know, they're through to the next round of the Cup. And at the moment, they're just, again, hitting that little purple patch that you can get during the season. So you certainly have to say on current form, you know, they'd have to be the favourites. I think especially going to Sunderland, if they can start well, you know, and really try and turn the crowd, then, you know, it could be a difficult match for Sunderland, certainly.
Yeah, and Phil Parkinson obviously has that pressure that Simon Grayson had, you know, the Sunderland fans and, you know, their expectations. How important is it that they get back to winning ways now for him as well? You know, three matches without a victory now.
Yeah, I think, again, we talk about the pressure, we talk about big club mentalities, and I think for Sunderland in particular, you know, there's been a lot of cup games, and you have to go all the way back, I think, to 2nd of November, I think, for the last win in the league because of the cup matches they've had, and that'll feel like an awful, awful long time, you know, having not won in the last three. So I think it's vital that they really get that win as quickly as they can. You know, I think for everyone's sake up there to get the fans back on board and, you know, the confidence back in the place, because, you know, we've seen over the last few years, once that goes the other way, it's very, very hard to get things back on track up there.
Well, a team who haven't found it hard to win recently are Swindon. They play Oldham this weekend. How impressed have you been with the way in which they've approached the Sky Bet League Two season so far?
Very impressed. We played them, obviously, at Orient earlier on in the season. And for me, they were, you know, certainly one of the best teams we've come up against. They play a very open, expansive style of football. You know, I think their top scorers in the league was 35. And a lot of that's down to, you know, how open they are and how attacking they are. The flip side of that is they do leave themselves exposed. And I think earlier on in the season, they got caught out a few times with it, but what they've managed to do clearly is find that formula of winning games. You know, six wins on the bounce, I think it is now, and you know, they lost to Crewe a while back now, and I think that was a real turning point for them. You know, at the time, a team that was right up there with them, but since that, they've responded fantastically well, and you know, certainly deserve their place at the moment. You know, right at the top of the table.
Yeah, Owen Doyle, obviously a man who's been absolutely lethal for them, of course, as well. I know he asked you the same question about Mitrovic in the Championship, but is Owen Doyle the best striker in this division?
Oh, yeah. I think you only have to look at, you know, his numbers and, you know, what he brings to that team as well. You know, again, like Mitrovic, you know, you get some goal scorers who are just poachers, which, again, you'd never take that away from a player, but you know, he works ever so hard, he gets around the pitch, and you know, he does a lot of work also, you know, that's not just goal scoring, that I know for a fact that his teammates appreciate, and I'm sure his manager does as well.
Amazing to think he's on loan from Bradford as well. You took a point against Oldham last time out, but they're unbeaten in the last five. Dino Mamaria seems to have, you know, steadied the ship there. Based on what you've seen, do you think they have a chance of maybe causing an upset here?
I'll be honest, we played Oldham very, very recently, and I must say I fancy Swindon in that particular game. I think what Dino's done is gone and, as you say, made them very, very solid, very organised, very hard to break down, as they were for us the other day. But for me, Swindon are just, you know, a cut above certainly Oldham at the moment, and I think it would be a difficult afternoon. I'd fully expect Swindon to win that game.
But Oldham unbeaten in the last seven games against Swindon, so the stats are with them as well. So maybe they have a little bit of a chance there. Joby, well, thank you very much for your time this weekend, and have a great weekend.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action. Available every week.